I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. I would like to read from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word today, I would like to ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we need thee every moment of our lives. We know that we can't draw the next breath without thy blessings upon us. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand that it is in thee that we live and move and have our very being. We're thankful that thou art the giver of life and the sustainer of life. We ask you to bless us in this hour that we might be able to worship thee in the study of thy holy word, that thy Holy Spirit would come down and be manifest in a very special way. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we come this morning asking you to fill us with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for every person that's here, but more important than the fellowship we have with each other is the fellowship with thee. More important than anyone else's presence is your presence. We ask you, Lord, to manifest yourself to us this day. Thou hast taught us that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that you would be in their midst. So manifest thyself to us. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to feel and know this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Help us to feel that way every day. And we pray that you would help us to feel and know that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the songs of praise that have already gone before thy throne of grace. Lord, we do beg you to bless all those who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would comfort their hearts. We know, Lord, that you're able. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, and you're able to comfort and help and bless and lift up. And we pray that you would bless each one that's lost loved ones, that you would give them a special measure of thy grace. That you would give them peace in their heart and soul to know that their loved one is home with you right now. We pray, Lord, that you bless all those that are sick and afflicted. We pray that thou, as the great physician who has all power, that you would continue to touch and lift up and restore to health those that are sick. We do beg you now to bless those that are facing surgery, that your guiding hand would be upon the doctors, that thou, as the great physician, that you would touch and heal and bless and restore to health. Help us now in this hour. Lord, you know the needs of every person that's here. You know the burdens and the problems of every individual and every family. And we pray that you would bless, that you would guide and direct, that you would give wisdom and understanding, and that your grace would be manifest in all of our lives. And help us, Lord, not to receive the grace of God in vain, but help us by your grace to do the things that are necessary in our lives every day. Help us to walk close to you and close one to another. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to live each day as if it's our last. Bless us this day. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, reading through verse 6. The Word of God says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" That's a very important verse of Scripture for you to remember, is that people's unbelief does not destroy God's faithfulness. Amen. What if their unbelief? He says, "Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings." Remember that. "That thou mayest be justified in thy..." What's the next word there? "That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? who taketh vengeance? That's another important question. What's the question there? Is God, are we going to say that God is unrighteous when he takes vengeance? Have you ever heard people, when God begins to carry out judgment, have you ever said, this is just not fair? Well, I want you to know that God's Word says, you better be careful about saying that. Are we ever going to say that God is unrighteous because he carries out vengeance? He says, I speak as a man. Verse 6. He says, God forbid. God forbid what? God forbid that we would ever say that God is unrighteous when he carries out vengeance. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? If correctly read, this is Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the middle of verse 5, there are four words that are on my heart, and I ask you to look at those very carefully. Verse 5 says, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, the next four words, what shall we say? What shall we say? This past Wednesday night, in our Wednesday night Bible study, we tried to look at the words of our mouth, the things that we say. We tried to talk about gossiping and lying and try to talk about a lot of things that we ought not to say, as well as things that we ought to be saying. But there are six times, listen carefully, there are six times just in the book of Romans, there are six times that this question is asked. What shall we say? And every one of those times, there's a specific thing that's under consideration. Like in this passage of Scripture, what shall we say? What are we going to say when God carries out vengeance? Are we going to say that there's unrighteousness with God when God carries out vengeance? What's the answer that he gives later down? God forbid that we would ever say such a thing as that. Now, I want to introduce, we're going to come back, Lord willing. I want to go ahead and give you these scriptures because we may not get to them this morning. And if you're not able to be back tonight, I want you to write these scriptures down. And I want you to study them when you get home tonight because I want you to be able to know, I want you to look at what God's Word says when the question is asked, what are you going to say? That's what he's saying here. He's going to ask six times in the book of Romans, what are you going to say? Is it important that you know what to say? God is asking you to think about it. God's telling you, you better think about what you are going to say to all these different matters. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 5, that's the first time that question is asked. What shall we say? Romans 3, 5. Then again in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Romans 6 and verse 1, that's the second time in the book of Romans that God says, what shall we say? You're not going to have time to go and read all these right now because we're going to come back and start about what are we going to say. The second place is Romans 6, 1. The third place is Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. Romans 7 and verse 7. The fourth place is Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. The fifth place is Romans chapter 9 and verse 14. And the sixth place is Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. The reason I want to give you that is for you to go home and study so that you'll know what God's Word says you better say and what you better not say. The Bible tells us that we're going to be judged by our words, the words of our mouth. The Scripture says this. Jesus says this. Jesus says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. There is a justification that comes by the things that we say. There is a condemnation that is a result of the things that we say. Since this past Wednesday night, I've been much more aware of the things that I say. In fact, there have been two or three times that I have said something, and I'm not talking about profanity or anything like that, but there have been two or three times that Teresa has said, you better think about what you just said. Why? Because God is telling us we better start thinking about what we say. Everything you say, every idle word, the Word of God says, that we're going to be judged by every idle word that we say. We better be careful. The Word of God says that David prayed and said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." I want my words to be acceptable in God's sight. The book of Proverbs says, a word fitly spoken is like what? It's like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Do we need to be careful about our words? Are our words important? Can you destroy your reputation just by the words that come out of your mouth? Yes, you can. And I pray that God will help us this day. We may not get to what shall we say, but I want to begin by laying a foundation about some things that God's Word says you are supposed to say. Now, I want you to remember this now, because when God is so specific as to say, now, say this, say this, say this. And I'm going to give you just four or five things that the Bible specifically says. There are a lot of other things, but I'm going to give you four or five things that the Bible says. Now, here's something you ought to be saying. I want to ask any of you that are 50 years of age or maybe 60 years of age and older, there's something you used to say at the beginning of school every day. Tell me, somebody tell me, what did we all, I mean, this is across America, every classroom in America, what did we all say early in the morning at the beginning of the school day? What did we say? How many of you that are 60 and older, how many of you said the Lord's Prayer every day before at school? That was something we said. Do you know why we said it? Do any of you know why we said it? We said it because God's Word says that's what you're supposed to say. God's Word says you're supposed to say that. What are you saying? I'm saying we need to go right back. They may say, well, you can't say it in school. Well, you need to say it at home. Listen, you need to say the Lord's Prayer every day with your family. Your family needs to come together, and every day, you know why I'm saying you need to say that? Because God says you need to say that. What I'm asking you is the question is, what shall we say? I'm going to first give you some things that God says we're to say, and then we're going to go back to these six things that He specifically asked the question about, what shall we say? Let's begin with some things now that God says, these are some things we're supposed to say. Back up in your Bibles. Look in your Bibles, please, at Luke chapter 11. Please don't talk during church. Listen carefully. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 2. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. This is where the disciples have come to Jesus, and they're asking Jesus how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. How many of you have ever had difficulty finding words to say in prayer? I do often. I just can't find the right words. There are times that I feel like I just can't pray. Well, Jesus taught His disciples when they said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught His disciples to pray. Well, Jesus taught us how to pray. Now, you don't always have to only pray these words. There are many other times in the Bible that we have other examples of what to pray. There are other things that we have on our heart that we ought to just pray from our heart. But here are some words that God says, when you pray, here's something for you to say. In Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 2, and He said unto them, when ye pray, what's the next word? Three little letters there. Is this a command from God? When ye pray, what's the word? Say. Are you supposed to say this? When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now I want you to listen carefully to the fourth verse. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Would you have difficulty praying that? You're saying, God, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Do you do that? Can you pray that? Is that a difficult prayer to pray? Will it make you think? If you start saying, God, forgive me of my sins, for I forgive everyone that is indebted to me. Now, those are serious words. The way Matthew records it is a little different. But I'm telling you, if you go on and finish the words of Jesus right after the prayer in Matthew, you'll see that it does make a difference, because if we don't forgive men of their trespasses, neither will our Father forgive us of our trespasses. So it's important that we say what Jesus said right here. I need to pray and I need to say, forgive me of my sins, for I forgive men of their trespasses against me. Now, are you going to have trouble sometimes praying that? If you do, what did you better do? I've already told you in the fifth grade, what did I do? I just left that part of the prayer out. Well, that doesn't work. Just leaving the words out doesn't work. God's going to judge me about whether or not I forgive, whether I say the words or not. It will help me start forgiving people when I pray this prayer. It will help you begin to forgive the way the Word of God says you're supposed to give when you start saying these words. It's a serious matter to say to God, God, forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who trespass against me. It's also a very serious thing to say, as he says here, forgive us our sins, for we also, is that a declaration here? We also forgive. We forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, is that something we need to say? What we're trying to look at is, what shall we say then? But before we really get into those questions, we're trying to look at, what are some things God specifically sets forth? Now, here's something you're supposed to say. I'm going to be judged according to my words, right? Isn't that what Jesus says? I'm going to be justified by my words, or I'm going to be condemned by my words. If I say the words Jesus told me to say, am I saying the right kind of words? Now let me hasten to say this. Don't you let your children start saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done. Listen, I get very upset when I hear children pray and they're just rattling off some words. Did you know that when they pray and all they're doing is just shooting some words out of their mouth, they're taking the Lord's name in vain? Did you know that? You and I, we need to think about every word that comes out of our mouth. You need to teach your children, it's not enough just to sit down at night and lay down at night and say your prayers. Don't just say some prayers. You need to pray. You need to think about these words, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What's that saying? Thy kingdom come. Do you want God's kingdom to come into your heart? You want to feel the kingdom of God? You want to feel the kingdom of heaven? You want to feel that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? That's what you're asking for. Thy kingdom come. And then when you say, Thy will be done, is that hard to say sometimes? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And yet everything in this prayer is something God says you're supposed to say that. You're supposed to say, give us this day our daily bread. What are you going to think about if you really pray that? You don't just say it, you pray it. What are you going to think about, give us this day our daily bread? You're going to be thinking about, first of all, God feeds the birds of the air. He feeds the sparrows. He's going to take care of me. Give me this day. Lord, help me not to think I've got enough in the pantry or in the freezer. Help me to understand you can take all that away just like that. Help me to pray, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, I know I'm weak. I know I'm frail. I know I'm liable to yield to temptation. Therefore, every day, you know what I need to say? Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Is there a lot of evil out there trying to destroy you and your children and your family and our nation? Lord, deliver us from evil. We need to pray. we need to say these words. I want all of us to say these words together right now. Look at your Bibles so that we'll say the same words together, okay? We're in Luke chapter 11. We're going to say what Jesus says we're supposed to say in the example prayer. Look at Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. And let's repeat these words and pray these words together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is it important that we say that? Do you see the wisdom in our founding fathers having us say those things before school every day? That was part of our learning, was to say what pleased God. Does it please God? Listen carefully. It does not please God just for you to spit those words out. But it does please God when you think about what you're saying and you say these words. These words are the words Jesus says. This is the example prayer. This is a prayer you're supposed to say. What are we talking about? Well, last Wednesday night we talked a lot about getting rid of words that we ought not to say. And we began looking at some things we are supposed to say. But did you know that if you begin to fill your life with these things that God says you're supposed to say, you know what will begin to happen? The more you say the things God says you're supposed to say, the more you'll stop saying those things you ought not to say. The more you say this prayer, this will help pave the way for you to pray the rest of your prayers. You can say this prayer, you can begin every prayer by praying this and then proceed right in to your own personal prayers. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. We have something else that Jesus says in Luke chapter 17. Something else we're supposed to say. Here's some words that are supposed to come out of our mouths. And I would encourage you to say it exactly the way the Word of God says to say it. I encourage you to say the words exactly the way Jesus says to say them. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself tells us, now, here's something else you're supposed to say. Here's some other words that are supposed to come out of your mouth. The question that we're looking at, what are the four words in the question that we're looking at today? What shall we say? What shall we say? One thing we need to say when we pray, we need to say those words that are recorded there in Luke 11 or back up to Matthew 6. But we need to pray that. Now listen to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. Jesus says, you know, let me ask you this question. Have you ever done something that was good? Have you ever done something that was pleasing to God and also pleased someone else, and they began to give you praise for what you were doing? Have you ever had that happen? That maybe you carried something to someone, or maybe you went, someone passed away and you went and you cut their grass and you did something around the house. Do people typically begin to praise you when you do things that God tells you you're supposed to be doing? Do they praise you? Yes. If they appreciate what you're doing, they're going to verbalize that. They're going to say thank you for doing what you've done. Do you know there's a response that Jesus says every time you do something and they begin to praise you for what you're doing? Don't just say, well, thank you, I love you. Don't just say that. Now, you can say that. But there's something else Jesus says you're supposed to say every time somebody starts to give you praise for something you've done. You know, Brother Joe carried his little sister a lot, you know. His sister wasn't able to walk. You know what he did? All his life. You know what he did? All her life. You know what he did? He picked her up and carried her. You think that was a burden to him to carry her? No. Yeah, I've heard that little story about the boy who carried his brother all the time that wasn't able to walk. And somebody said, oh, isn't he heavy? You remember what he said? He's not heavy. What? He's my brother. He's not heavy. He's my brother. My brother Joe carried his little sister. He carried her around. God's pleased with the way Brother Joe took care of his sister. And Brother Jamie and Brother Joe were two of the pallbearers at the funeral. They carried her the last step on this earth. Carried her the last way. Last step of the way. But you know what? All they were carrying was the body. Guess where she was? She was already home with the Lord. She was already up there in heaven. That's where she is right now. But you know, if I were to start commending Brother Joe and say, Brother Joe, you're just an outstanding man. Here's what you and I need to say when somebody begins to commend us. You can say thank you. And you can say, she's my sister. It wasn't heavy. I enjoyed doing it. But here's something specific that Jesus says you and I need to say. We need to learn what Jesus says. Have you ever not known what to say when somebody said something to you? Have you ever not known what to say? Well, here's what to say. Listen. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say. Here's what he says. He says to what? What are the three letters? Say. Say this. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now that doesn't have to be all that you say, but shouldn't that be part of what we say sometimes? Is I'm an unprofitable servant. I haven't done anything more than what Jesus told me to do. I'm just doing that which was my duty to do. I wanted to do it. I wanted to please God. And I wanted to show my love for you. Have you ever done something for somebody just because you love them? Well, that's the Spirit of God that moved and motivated you to do that. But always remember, there's something you're supposed to say. When they begin to commend you, what are you supposed to say? We're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Did you know a lot of the old people still say that today? I'm talking about old people. You get mighty old. I'm not talking about in the 60s now. I'm talking about up in the 80s. They still say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. Do you know why they say that? Because that's something Jesus said to say. Something Jesus said to say. Do we need to know what to say? Is it important we say the right things? Jesus said that when people begin to commend you and somebody else begins to commend you. In fact, sometimes we begin to, if you ever wanted to pat yourself on the back, Jesus said, you better remember that you're an unprofitable servant. You're an unprofitable servant. You haven't gotten ahead. You haven't done more than what God told you to do. We're an unprofitable servant. We have done that which was our duty to do. Go with me to another scripture. Let me ask you this question. Should we call Jesus Lord? Should we call Jesus Lord? Should we call Him Lord? Should we call Him Master? There's one place in the Bible where Jesus makes this statement to some people. He says, ye call me Lord and Master, and ye say, well, for so I am. We should call Him Lord. We should call Him Master. But now there's another time that Jesus said to some people, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do you follow what the contrast is there? Jesus says, it is good to call Him Lord. It is good to call Him Master. He is our Lord. He is our Master. But if you're going to call Him Lord and you're going to call Him Master, you better be trying to do the things He tells you to do. Because Jesus is not pleased with us just saying, Lord, Lord, and not doing the things He tells us to do. In fact, we're saying by our actions, He's not really my Lord. I'm not doing what He says. But by our actions and by our words, we need to say, He is my Lord and He is my Master. And then Jesus will say, ye say well, for so I am. Let me give you two other scriptures in closing. Back up to Hebrews, go to the end of the New Testament. I want you to listen to something else the Word of God says you're supposed to say. These are things that God says you're supposed to say. Hebrews chapter 13, listen please to verses 5 and 6. Somebody tell me, the three things. We've only gotten to three things. We haven't even gotten to what shall we say. But the three things we've talked about, what's the first thing we looked at that we're supposed to say? What's the first thing? The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer, yes. We're supposed to say the Lord's Prayer. What's the second thing we looked at that we're supposed to say?
Unprofitable.
We're unprofitable servants. We've done that. That was our duty to do. What's the third thing we're supposed to say? Call him Lord and Master. Now listen to the fourth thing. Hebrews chapter 13, listen to verses 5 and 6. The Word of God says, let your conversation, that word conversation means your manner of life, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, that is God hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what God has said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me? Have you ever said that? The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Does the Word of God says we can boldly say that? Does the Word of God say we should boldly say that? Why? Because God has said, what has God said? God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let me give you one more in closing. Look at James, just two pages past where we're looking at in Hebrews. James chapter 4, and I know that I've mentioned this and preached this before, but I want to mention it again because it's very important. James chapter 4, listen please to verses 13 through 15. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. The Word of God says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Have you ever said you're going to do something? How many of you have ever said you're going to do something, but you didn't say, if I live and the Lord will? How many of you have ever said you're going to do something? I'll meet you tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do this next week. Let me tell you something. God says it's wrong for you to do that. Don't you ever say what you're going to do without saying these words. Look at what God's Word says. He says in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, listen carefully to verse 15 now, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You follow? What does he say? If the Lord's willing, I'll live and I'll meet you tomorrow. The Lord willing, I'll live and I'll do that tomorrow. Do you see what God's Word says you're supposed to say? Don't you ever say, I beg you and I exhort you and I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, don't you say what you're going to do tomorrow or next week or next month without saying, even later today, don't say what you're going to do without saying, if the Lord will, I'll live and I'll do that. The Lord willing, I'll live and I'll do that. What are you testifying every time you say, if the Lord will, I'll live and I'll do that? What are you saying? My life is in the hands of God. I may die. I'm a weak and a frail creature. My life is in God's hand, and I can't tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. And it'll remind me and it'll remind you every time that you say, if the Lord will, I'll live and I'll do that. It'll remind you of the brevity of life. It'll remind you of the presence of God. It'll remind you that you are 100% dependent on God for everything you do. Well, we didn't get to what shall we say, did we? We didn't get to those six things, but that's what I want us to... I look forward to heaven. You know what? I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I know we're not going to be worried about time anymore when we get to heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you get to heaven, it's just going to be eternity. It's just going to be forever and ever. And we're never going to get tired. It's a lot easier on me when I'm preaching. It's a lot easier on me. I've sat in the pews when the preacher just went on, and the pew got hard, and I was tired, and I was sleepy, and I was ready to go, and it looked like he just wouldn't get tired. Well, I need to remember, it's harder to sit in the pew than it is, if the Lord's blessing, it's harder to sit in the pew than it is to be up in the pulpit. May God help us, brethren, to say the right things, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, May God help us to say the right things every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.